We are so delighted and so honored to have Evangelist David Ring. And I'm telling you, you're going to be blessed today. Would you give a warm Winnsboro, Louisiana Life Church welcome to our friend, Brother David Ring, today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for letting me come today. I've been doing this for 48 years. I know I don't look that old. Do I? Do I? Therefore, I started when I was 2. I've been all over the nation. I have literally spoken in every state of the United States. But Louisiana, I love your state. I love coming to Louisiana. In fact, do you know Louisiana is my all-time favorite state? One more time. Louisiana is my all-time favorite state. Now when I go to Alabama, I'd say Alabama. Pennsylvania, whatever state I'm in, I'm content. How many of you know by now I have a speech impediment? One more time. It's going to be a long morning. How many of you know by now I have a speech impediment? I forgot I'm in Louisiana. Everybody in Louisiana has a speech impediment. If you don't believe me, go down to Walmart. Every time I go to Walmart, I believe everybody's speaking in unknown tongues. There's no lie. I never will forget speaking in Lafayette, Louisiana. And I walk in to check in at the hotel, and I could not understand anybody. You been there? And I said to one guy, "Are we still in the United States?" And I repeated that. At First Baptist Church, they never did invite me back. I wonder why. But by now, everybody know I have something to overcome. And that's going to be my theme today. How do we overcome? How do we get from point A to point B? How do we go through life journey and still survive? You can tell by looking at me. When I walk, I walk with a limp. When I talk, I talk funny, like you do. But I have something I have to overcome. Can anybody say amen? Even though I cannot see what you have to overcome, because you stuff it way down. And it is easier for me to overcome, even with a sleep-paralyzed body. It is easier for me to overcome than you to overcome. Why? Because what I have to overcome, you can see and you can heal. I don't play games. But how many of you? I'm not going to ask that. Because I know every one of you in the same boat. You stuffed it down and for many years, you and God knows you got something to overcome. Don't worry about it. The church family will never find out. You are safe. But the moment you come in the door, you put on a mask. For example, I guarantee you, if you are a husband and wife, I guarantee you, you got into it on Sunday morning, on the way to church. I mean, you were screaming. You, inside of you, you going, kill, kill, kill. Am I what? The moment you walk in the door, you will. We serve an awesome God. True or false? But people, every one of us can overcome if we want to. But the problem is, we don't want to. I do, but you probably don't. Because you think it's impossible to be authentic, to be real everywhere you go, even the church. And today, I got good news for you. Every one of us can overcome. If you got your Bible, turn with me to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation is the last book of the Bible. It's on page 1,000. Duh. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, number one, and by the word of their testimony, number two. There you go. You are a little bit slow. But my bad, he kept me up until 2:30 in the morning. Duh. That's the truth. But they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life to the death. They overcame him, overcame the devil. If you are a child of God this morning, your number one enemy is not your spouse. If you are a child of God, your number one enemy is not your mother-in-law. However, my come real close. And by the way, if you tell my wife, I will, all I did say, baby doll, they did not understand me. But you, if you are a child of God, if you are blood-bought child of God, your number one enemy is the devil. The devil is roaring like a lion in the auditorium waiting to capture you. And every one of you have experienced this every single day of your life. The devil says to you and me, if they only knew, if they only knew, know what? Who are they? The preacher? If they only knew who the board, the preach team, if they only knew, can I relate to you? But thank God, we got the power over the devil by the blood of the Lamb. I tell the devil every single day to go to hell. It's legal. Amen? I'd say, devil, go home. Don't mess with me. Because I know the end of the story. And you lose. Amen. I win. Amen. No debate. I don't belong to you, devil, anymore. I belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords only because of the blood. If you don't believe in the blood, you won't ever make it into heaven. Jesus died for you. We're going to celebrate that in a month. But thank God we serve a God. And I tell the devil, devil, the one who know me the best love me the most. More than my wife, more than my children, more than anybody. The one who knows me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet loves me every morning, every noon, every night time. I'm the apple in God's eyes, and so are you. And claiming in the name of Jesus, I love the blood, don't you? There was power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. What can wash away all my sin? Tell me, church. What can make me over again? Oh, patient in the blood that made me. Why, that's no other found I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus looked at you and me through the blood. Well, I thought I was in a non-denomination church. But you just let it out of the bag. You are but the moment. Duh. You are under the blood. Amen. And when God look at you and me, He look at us through the blood. Therefore, the number one, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. And that was given at the day of salvation for you and me. Number two, they overcame. And by the way, you have something to overcome. They overcame by the word of their testimony. And people, I'm 67. Can you believe it? I'm a young man. Duh. I don't feel young today. And I will tell you why later. But the more I tell my story, watch this now. This is where everybody lives. Every day, you want victory in your life. Every day, you are struggling with the same habits. Every day, you are shaking. Ever, oh, God, change my life. Yeah, I'm talking about the family of God. But after a while, the more I tell my story, the more I overcome. Do you get that? Let me slow it down. Stop, rewind, play. Every time I tell my story, my testimony, the more I overcome. And people, look at me, every single one of you. The more you tell your story, the more you overcome. It's very simple. If you don't tell your story on Monday, you won't overcome on Monday. If you don't tell your story on Thursday, you won't overcome. Any day you don't tell your story, you don't overcome. And that's where 99.9% of the family of God lives. Because they don't tell their story. You'd say, David, come on. Come on. I can tell my story. You can't? Why? Well, my story is too long, David. No, it's not. Your story is 3 words. Your story is 3 words. May I give you your story today? May I? Your story is, I am blessed. That's your story. You say, David, you don't know what I've been. No, I don't. But I know one thing. Today, you are blessed. I don't feel blessed today. I feel like I'm going through hell. You probably do. But you are going through hell blessed. So let's proclaim our story together. 1, 2, 3. I am blessed. Say again.
I am blessed.
Again.
I am blessed.
Louder.
I am blessed.
One more time.
I am blessed.
Therefore, the next time somebody come up to you and say, how are you? Just say, I'm blessed. And leave out all the other details. They don't give a whip. Believe me, I've been there. Duh. But if you say, I am blessed 31 times in 30 days, you going to get inside of you, I'm blessed. Huh? Some people think cerebral palsy is a handicap. No, it's not. It's a platform to tell my story, which is many people think it's a disability. No, it's not. It's a platform to tell my story, which is many people think it's a problem. It's not a problem. It's an opportunity to tell my story, which is I am blessed. Some people think it's a punishment. God punishing you. No, it's not a punishment. Believe me, it's a blessing. Want me to prove it? Do you want me to prove it? I'm the only man alive that been through 4 children and never changed 1 diaper. I believe. I remember when my wife gave me, my wife had our children. Every now and then, she will come up to me and say, he'll go change. They'll get the diaper. I said, not me. I have cerebral palsy. And she was dumb enough to believe it. So if you think cerebral palsy is nothing but a blessing, you did wrong. Everything I don't want to do at home, I got cerebral palsy. Duh. But everybody has a story. The same story. Everybody had the same story, which is I am blessed. But every one of you have a different journey to get there. Who are you today? On February 28th. Who are you today? You'd say, I'm a new life. Life just. Who are you today? Not here. Who are you? Do you feel stuck? On a side of a mountain? Can I go up and down? Do you feel like you are in the lowest valley you've ever been in before? Who are you? My journey began 1953, Jonesboro, Arkansas. Born dead for 18 minutes. The oxygen could not get to my mind. And therefore, when I was born dead, and they took my tiny body and laid it on the table against the wall because my mama was losing a life. The dead baby, forget about the dead baby. 1953, we did not have the manpower that we do now. We did not have the technology. Therefore, I lay on the table for 18 minutes. Think about that. Being there for 18 minutes. 18 minutes is a long time. They told me, you can only be there for 7 without assessment, without severe brain damage. I was there for 18 minutes. I'm not supposed to be here. Do you understand that? I'm supposed to be a vegetable. Do you understand that? But thank God, I am ill. You know why? Because it's not over until God say it's over. It's not over until God say it's over. At the age of 11, my Baptist preacher daddy got sick. 2 weeks later, my daddy died. I'm the baby of 8 living children, and I'm not only the baby of the family, but I'm a 8 number one mom and baby boy. You can tell by looking at me, I'm a mom and boy, because I got that mom and baby face. You know the face only a mom can love. You've been there too, huh? Boy, some of you been there. Some of you look like you've been beaten with the ugly stick. Do you know what I mean? U-G-L-Y, you ain't got no alibi. You ugly. You might be blessed, but you still ugly. He told me to tell you that. I would never say such a thing. But when I was 14, my mom got sick. My mom went in the hospital. I had the operation on the neck. It's simple. Operation, no big deal. But July 1968, the doctor came to my family and said, your mom will never come home. She had cancer. I'm 14. Emotionally, I'm probably 11. But I'd say, oh, no, my mama. My mama not going to die. My mama told me every day, David, I will never abandon you. I will never leave you. I will always be there. I will always defend you. I will never abandon you. My mama not going to die. Is she? By October 16th, 1968, my mom took her last breath. And I saw my loving mom go from 185 pounds to 57 pounds. And when my mama died, I died. Everything in me died. My mama loved me. My mama loved me with everything she had, but my mom lied to me. My mom told me, I will never abandon you, but now she's did the ultimate abandonment. She said she will always defend me, but every day people look at me and say, look, that boy walk from the look, that boy talk from the look, It's no fun to be made fun of every day. And I couldn't go home to my mama and I couldn't say, Mama, somebody made fun of me today. She could not put her arm around me like she done a million times because she abandoned me when I needed her the most. And I went through a deep, deep, dark hole of loneliness. You been there? And I'm so lonely, I wanted to die. I attempted suicide every other day for 2 years. But thank God, it's not over until God says it's over. I used to play on the interstate, 70, in St. Louis, and begging my truck hit me and put my body in the grill of the truck because that pain would never be the pain I'm going through now. But thank God, one night, I went to church, and I didn't want to go to church, but I walked up the hill. My sister, who took me in, my biological sister, 14 years older than me, she molested me for 2 years. I can't believe that's a part on my journey. I can believe I can tell you that. I can believe how anybody could molest somebody, especially my sister. She knew I was in emotional pain that you don't want to talk about. But I knew she was coming in. I left the hour. I walked up to the hill. I found a little church. They were having a revival. And to get away from the monster, I went inside of the church. I have a funny feeling. When I walk in the door, God peep over the balcony of glory and say, yep, you are on time. I've been looking for you. And today is the day of your salvation. The Bible says when somebody gets saved, angels rejoice. Do you believe that? Therefore, God called all the angels over and get who were among them, my mom. And God said, see that 16-year-old crippled boy, tonight I'm going to make something worth living for in his life. Tonight I'm going to change his life. I'm going to turn him every way but loose and strike up the band because a baby boy is going to be born at the altar and praise God, April 17, 1970 at 8:45 p.m. Central Standard Time. I became a child of God. I became a new creation. God took away my loneliness, gave me happiness. God took away my sorrow and gave me joy unspeakable and full of glory. Look at me, look at me. I still walk with a limp. I still have cerebral palsy. But thank God, cerebral palsy don't have me. I am overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony, which is I am blessed. I went back to school. They used to make fun of me. But the school, the high school, Liberty Mansour, was so dumbfounded about the change that came over my life. They saw my attitude change on a dime. And they had to call together an old school assembly and wanted me to stand on stage and tell them what happened to me. And I stood on the stage that day and told 1,400 students. I said, student body, I went to an old-fashioned revival. I gave my life to God. I don't understand that yet. But I don't want that. I don't want to live. I don't want to die. I want to live. Why? Because I got something worth living for. And you know what they did? They voted me to be the most popular boy in that student body. Pretty good, huh? I went from a zero to King David overnight. They voted me to be Minister of School Spirit. They voted me to be the vice president of my senior class. And I got the yearbook to prove it. I even beat out a good-looking cheerleader. And I got the yearbook to prove it. I'm the only 67-year-old man you know that still got the yearbook on the coffee table. They want to put it up in the idea. I said, hey, no, leave it on the coffee table. I'm all the way through the yearbook. I'm on every other page. Leave it on the coffee table. They did not know the number one job. A vice president had to do was to pick out pictures to go into the yearbook. That was my job. No wonder I'm on every other page. I might be dumb, but not stupid. But I believe with all my heart, God begun to give back to me what the devil stolen from me. They told me I would never be a preacher, but I am. Preachers, I told Brother Bates last night, I'd say, many preachers told me, you will ever make it in the ministry. I've only been doing it 48 years. I may not make it. They said, David, you will ever get invitation to fill up your calendar. You will ever make a living by speaking. But I only spoken in over 8,000 churches nationwide. And all I could say to the bunch of preachers, all I could say, nah, 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 nah. I wonder what they did when they turned on the TV and saw me on the old time gospel hour with Dr. Jerry Falwell. I wonder what they did, the preachers did when they turned on the TV and saw me preaching on John Hagee. Program. You know John, the job boy. He big. I've been with him 21 times. Nine. I was with Falwell 18 times. I got my own YouTube channel. Nah. Do you want to touch me? I wonder what it is when they turn on the radio and heard me on Dr. Dobson with Focus on the Family Talk. I've been with Dr. Dobson 7 times. I wonder what it is. My pastor called me up after I was adopted the first time in the year 2000 and said, David, I owe you an apology. I was driving down the road today and I turned on the radio and I heard your voice. I knew it was you. Duh. And David, I started bawling like a baby. I had to pull over to the shoulder because my tears were blinding me. Will you forgive me? I said, Peter, don't need to. You've done me a favor. You've made me fight for my faith. You've made me fight the call of God. Everybody said no, but I know in my heart that God called me, and Peter, you could not see it. Then he said, David, I was so afraid you were all going to get hurt. I said, Peter, everything is A-okay. Believe me. He's 92 years old. God keep him alive. Judge, let him see what I can do. Duh. Pretty good journey, don't you think? Study out back. 3 strikes, you out. But it's not over until God says it's over. Do you know that's the only thing I do for a living? I'm not only church staff. I'm not only church payroll. That's the truth. I go to churches on a free will love offering. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? Yes. It means that if you don't give, I don't eat. Duh. I don't know what I'm going to get today. I don't have a clue what you're going to give me today. But I know one thing. I'm having the time of my life. Do you know? I could be on welfare. I could be on total disability. You could be paying my way whether you want to or not. But thank God you don't pay my way through the government. But you will be given an opportunity to give to my ministry. And for 48 years, I've been going by faith. And let me tell you, month 1 of last year was my last date to do before COVID. Do you know about COVID? just turn on the TV, any channel you want to. You find all about COVID. COVID shut me down. I didn't speak for March 8th through November 18th. But here I am, folks. Because the Bible says, my God shall supply all your needs. I don't know about that. I don't have a clue how to connect with that. But I know one thing. God still see I've been faithful to the call of God. What about you? I have cerebral palsy. What's your problem? What are you doing? Yeah, you. For the kingdom of God. Are you doing all you can? They told me I would never find a wife. Now don't pull up the picture until I tell you to. If you do, I'm coming back there. Duh. They said, David, you won't ever find a wife. I said, why not? No woman will love you. Why not? You cripple, you not good enough to love. No woman will love you. You out of your ever-loving mind. You won't ever find a wife. But thank God, September 5th, 1981, I stood at the First Baptist Church of Lake Charles, Montsville, not Louisiana, Montsville. And I saw over 500 people at my wedding, standing room only. Nah, 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 nah. And over half of them said, David, this day will never come. But sure, I watched the door open, and all of a sudden, I saw a beautiful bride walking down the aisle toward me, smiling from ear to ear. She was dynamite. She was knocked out. I remember crippled in the body, but my eyes at A-OK. Duh. And I said, I do. She said, I do, and we did. Duh. 5 weeks after we got married, my wife called me. I was doing a revival in Memphis, Tennessee. She called me and said, babe, I went to the doctor today, and I'm pregnant. And I said the most stupid thing a husband could say to a wife. How could that be? And she picked up on that and said, I don't know. Tell me, big boy. Every time I look at my wife, she got pregnant. After the fourth one, I walk around with my house. Baby, I love you. I'm not looking. But I'm a daddy to four children, three girls, one boy. April 37 will be in May. June, she graduated with a master's degree in psychology, study of the mind, because she lived with a brain dead, dead, all alive. And she wanted to find out about me. Duh. Ashley, my second daughter, is 36-year-old on Friday. She graduated from college with a 4.1 GPA. She actually got my brains because I don't have any. Somebody got mine. Duh. Name of my boy is 33-year-old, and he's doing so good. He's single. He is available. I will be standing in the lobby, take an application. If you were my boy, you can't have my boy. Your age don't matter. You can be 95. You will fit in good. Duh. How can you talk about your children like that? Amy. Amy is 30 years old. Amy is the one either going to put me in the grave or in mental ward. I thought cerebral palsy was tough until she came along. She looked at me one day and said, "Well, Daddy, I did not ask to be born." I said, "Yeah, you better thank God, because if you did ask to be born, I would say no." Can I get witness? You've been there too, huh? Amy graduated from Belmont University in Nashville with a 3.5 GPA. She is a nurse practitioner, one level under MD at St. Thomas Hospital in Nashville. I promise you today, if I ever get sick, I will never go to St. Thomas. I know what she will do. She will come into my room and unplug my machine and wait 7 hours and to call her, "My mama, I don't know how Daddy died." But every time I look at my family, all I can say to God, be the glory. Great that it's been a long journey, but now may I show you how blessed I am. Good looking, huh? Which one is my wife? Don't she look good? My wife is in the white stripe. April in the green, 37. Ashley, 36. Amy Joy in the blue, 30. Look at Amy now. Amy's smiling. She is faking it. Believe me. But look at them. If you don't believe in the power of God, look at it. Look at that. I could not do that. But God did that. I thank God every day. Look at my wife. She's 60. I'm only 7 years older than her. You thought I was 37 years older than her. Don't she look good? She had four babies. I said, woman, you look good. It's amazing what money can do. I did not say that. Baby doll, they did not heal me. Could not, but I think I'm going to close. I think I'll leave the picture up. When I say I'm going to close, I still got 30 minutes in me. But I think every day about the death of my mom. Because if my mama didn't die, I would never be able to find a wife. If my mama didn't die, I would never be a dad. My four children would not be born. I thank God every day for the death of my mom. Because if my mama didn't die, I would never be a preacher. If my mama didn't die, I would be stuck in Jonesboro, Arkansas. Poor little mama Abelstein. Please get that. I will be in Jonesboro, Arkansas. Poor little mama. I will be an invalid. I will depend on mom forever. But thank God, God had to work the details out. God had to work behind the scenes. Can you relate? Can you relate? You've been looking up. Yeah, make sense of it. Why did I lose that? God, you took my granddaughter. God, I believe in you. But God, I just don't understand how people can live in sin. I'm a member of the church. I'm a part of the family of God. You just don't make sense. You ever said that? May I answer it for you? Absolutely. Farther along, we will understand it better by and by. The unseen hand. Nobody ever sang that song in the morning. I doubt you even know it, do you? Do you? Let me pat you on the back. I didn't think anybody would know that. That unseen hand that guided me, the life. Pilgrim land. That gave me Jesus bumps. I went through hell. Born dead, lost my dad and mom. Molested. That's something I can't wrap my brain around yet. But the unseen and knew everything. And I thank God I'm guided by the unseen hand. I don't know why I named that song. I never said what I said in the last 5 minutes of my life. But I know one thing. Every one of you is a child of God. You are led by an unseen hand. It won't fail you. Five things, five questions, four questions. I'm done. I think it's funny because my son loved the guy. Doing so well. He said that he used to work for me for 3 years when he had to quit because I almost killed him. Driving down and smack him. He said, Dad, when you say in the pulpit, you're done, you still got 20 minutes to go. Four questions. And before I ask, get along with God right now. We call this an altar. But today, let whatever you are setting be your altar. Climb on it. Answer the four questions. Number one, what are you doing with what you have? Number two, what are you doing with what you have for the kingdom of God? I will wait on you for that. Number three, can you do any more for him in the life of the church? Number five, what it going to take to jolt you, to power you? What is it going to take to move you from dead center to serving God? I don't want to tell this story to brag on me, but I thank you, numbered in, I thank you a living testimony of what I've been saying to you. Yesterday morning, about 12:30 in the afternoon, I left Lynchburg, Virginia. I drove myself 951 miles one way. When do you do that, David? They showed me I still can. They showed me I did it because I just want to prove to myself. If I told him to buy me a plane ticket, he would jump at the opportunity. But I said, no, I'm going to show these people today how much I love you. I'm going to take the risk. I'm going to lay it all on the line. February 13th in Kilgore, Texas. You been there? A car went into my car. I was going about 45. I was turning. Somebody, a man, hit me in the back and totaled my car. His headlight was found in Denton in the driver's seat. And I was the driver. February 13th, I called my wife. I said, baby doll, I'm laying it down. I will never drive again. I'm done. I don't have anything to prove to anybody. I've done it all. I've been used by God for 48 years. Baby, I'm giving up. That's tough for me to tell you. But she said, big boy, you're going to get another call? And you're going to drive 1,000 miles one way, because I know who I married 39 years ago. And the man 39 years ago could not say, I can't. It's not in your DNA. And thank God. Thank God, I'm blessed. Now, the other side of that coin is, idiot. I got to go back to Lynchburg today. Anybody want to go with me? Duh. He will fly you back one way. I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. But see, people, telling you that story makes me want to overcome a little bit more, because I'm blessed. Can you do any more? Can you get off dead shit? Can you get the lead out and put the Lord in? What? Who are you now? And today, what God done for me, time and time again, God will do for you. God allowed me to total my car, to tell my story to a, hotel housekeeping in Kilgore, Texas. And she made a profession of faith in the hallway on my room. And she said, wow, God can do with me what God done with you. I said, I know it can. And I said, if you want to know more about me, go to YouTube. She said, I don't need to. I'm ready to give my life to God. So the ice storm was a blessing. You ever been stuck in Kilgore for 8 days? You ever climbed the wall? You ever banged your head up against the wall? I done it all a week ago. But it's been well worth it for you and you. And let me tell you one more thing that I'm going to pray. Somebody said to me, David, you know what time it is? Yep. Time for you to get sold out for him. And if I can drive 951 miles for you, I'm going to take my time. And if you need to leave, you can leave a love offering at the door. But folks, you can make it. You can do it. If God can use me, God can use you. God took my greatest liability and made it into my greatest asset. They are making a movie of me right now in Hollywood. Now, do you want to touch me? The name of the movie is The Boy Born Dead. You can put that. The Boy Born Dead, David Wayne, forward by Governor Mike Huckabee. What a neat guy. I love Mike. But see, if I died today, if I died today going back to Lynchburg, my bags are packed. I'm ready to go. You could be my last audience. If I died, wherever I die, the story going to be put in a movie. And therefore, I encourage you today to buy a book. I'm begging you to buy a book. It's $20, and I will sign the book. And when the movie comes out, you can sell the book on eBay. I can't believe I said that. God is so good. Do you know the unseen end? Do you? Sing a little bit. Nobody move.
I'm trusting to the unseen hand.
Yes, sir.
That guides me through this weary land. When some sweet day, I'll reach that strand.
Ohio.
Still guided.
Still guided.
I'm trusting to the unseen that guides me through.
Oh, weary
land.
Are you tired?
When some sweet day.
Some sweet day,
I'll reach that strength.
I'll reach my strength.
Still guided by the
I hate to do this, but sing it again.
I'm trusting to
the men to come. To come
that guides me through this weary
land. You can kneel at your feet.
When some sweet day,
and some sweet day,
I'll reach that strength.
Still guided by.
The unseen
preacher, it don't get any sweeter than this. What a service to leave this weary land. Guided by the unseen. Yeah. Wow. I'm still at him. Well, what about that song you want to take to me? Lord, I'm willing. I'm listening. God, your unseen end been guiding me all the way. And one day, Lord, I wish that strength still guided by the unseen end. You're a Pentecostal. I think I just want to take a step onto the third heaven. But I didn't know you. Come here. We met about 9:45, 9:40. No, I'm sorry, 10:10. You were late picking me up. You kept me up until 2:30 a.m. But I know why I came to Winsboro for him. What a saint. We've been talking about old friends. Believe it or not, I'm 1 year older than him. 1 year? You look 20 years older than me. But do you know why you look old? You are a pastor. I'm an evangelist. I'm leaving town after you've done. Duh. But thank you for the base, for being guided by the unseen end for many, many years. And Kevin, you're my bud. If I die today, send the love of it home to my wife. Stop pavement now. Don't send the body, send the love of it. But one more time, folks, it don't get any more sweeter than this.